Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
I'm very excited that today we'll be speaking to Sabine Cristelli. Sabine is a sleep specialist and she has a women's holistic coach and mentoring business. But importantly, we're going to be talking about why sleep is just so important. We'll be speaking to another community centre at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned right to the end. Welcome to the podcast, Sabine. I'm really excited to have a chat with you today because, well, I think of you as the sleep specialist.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Sleep is really important for all of us, Sabine, and I think we've had conversations where I used to think that sleep was highly overrated. You know, you can do forever of it, apparently, when we're no longer on this earth, so don't need to do much of it now, but I was wrong.
Yes, I think a lot of people are now realizing that sleep is actually a gold mine that we've been sitting on and not utilizing properly.
So Sabine, take us right back to why it is so important to get a good sleep.
So one of the most important things is that during the night, where you're actually spending a third of your life asleep for a purpose, you're integrating your memories, you're repairing your body. So when you get a really good sleep, in a nutshell, everything will function better, from your immune system to your digestive system to your mental health to your ability to think clearly and have patience and, you know, be able to really have creative thought. All of the things, not just mentally, but physically, biologically, even potentially your spiritual nature and how you relate to the world in terms of higher consciousness is all connected with sleep, because lack of sleep puts you into fight or flight. And then you are basically in a different way, in a different part of your brain, the reptilian brain, if you want to call it that, or the amygdala, fear, stress. And you relate to life completely differently. And that constant stress is what is wearing us down these days, especially with people having more and more insomnia.
And people are having more insomnia. So let's talk about that. Are there some percentages you can give us? Like, how many people have a good night's sleep? Is it 2 out of 5?
From our research, the only thing is that we haven't asked everyone, but on average, they say about 44 to 45% globally are having some sort of sleep disturbance. And it's probably worse because many people wouldn't be part of that research. So it's probably an underestimation and are getting sleep disturbance and hence not thriving the way they could.
Mm. Is it more getting to sleep or waking up and then getting back to sleep?
Both, actually.
And not enough sleep.
It is the whole thing. Some people fall asleep really easily and they go, wow, I fall asleep instantly. My head hits the pillow and I wake up feeling horrible. Some people say, I fall asleep really easily, but I keep waking up at 3 o'clock. So they are the two classics. It's actually sometimes people just can't go to sleep and they just stay up all night and do all sorts of things that exacerbate it. So these would probably be the three major categories that I hear about. So the not falling asleep as well as they want and really feeling tortured in bed, the waking up around 3 or 4 on average and not being able to fall asleep that well, or actually having that so-called sleep but waking up and feeling awful, like they've just had 1 hour and just feeling completely exhausted.
So let's take us back to basics of good sleep. How much should we be sleeping?
In general, 8 hours. For some people it's 6, for some people it's 9, but it's between that, depending on your lifestyle.
I could sneak that in then, 6 hours I'm snuck in.
Well, the thing is this, I'm glad you're saying that. It could be that that's enough for you, but it could also be that you would thrive more with 7. You know, there's actually ways to test that. And some people also at different seasons will cope with less sleep. Maybe it's a less stressful time in their lives. And often when we are going through stress or we are having other things that are draining us, we actually need more. And some people worry about that and don't give themselves that sleep, going through a divorce or moving house or maybe just the temperature out there disturbing the sleep. We need more to recover. So I would have to check whether the 6 are just right for you.
Right. Let's look at those major events in life, the divorce, you know, maybe changing jobs, whatever it might be, relationship issues. Mm. Is that playing on the mind? Is that what stops you getting to sleep or waking you up?
Yes, rumination is what we call it. And that is, yes, overthinking. And of course, the stress. Because one of the key things to get good sleep is to feel that you are safe and relaxed. And many people collapse into bed and they haven't unwound at all. So, and that's okay. Sometimes, you know, that's not a problem. We still sleep enough. But then if that builds up and there might be a divorce or some other major stresses, eventually it feels like we're sleeping, but we're basically just scraping the bare minimum. And that's what's happening to a lot of people. They don't understand why. And it is the stress levels. which then block your ability to go into the deeper states of sleep, which are rejuvenating rather than just a shallow basic sleep.
Well, that is the bit, the rejuvenating, that got me interested in sleep, Sabine, I have to confess, because someone said, you know, you get really bad wrinkles if you don't sleep well. Okay.
That's it. Now you're interested. Yes, I love it.
So let's have a look at that whole aspect of that mental health and that worrying and that, because for a lot of people, they just go to sleep. Whereas I know when I've discussed this with you before, there's actually a process that you should have. There's all these things we should be doing in order to get best sleep. So walk us through that.
Yes. So if you don't want the wrinkles and you want to have good weight balance and mental health, beautiful things you can do, like first of all, try to have a routine. And that's a really broad statement for everyone. That's different. Some people will enjoy walking their dog at the beach, seeing the sunset, having a shower, keeping the lights dim. For other people, it's I'll have dinner a bit earlier, because when I have dinner and I fall asleep straight away afterwards, that seems to work. But now I know that that's actually disturbing my sleep quality. So in a nutshell, you want to try and establish a routine that you enjoy, that you are actually able to do. And even if that just means half an hour before bed, you don't go on the laptop, you don't overstimulate, you keep your house lights really dim. Then you have a nice shower as a routine, as a habit. Maybe in half an hour before, you do something else that you like, have some herbal tea or meditate or do some deep breathing or a little foot massage. There are so many things you can do, listening to a podcast that's not overstimulating. And those things will start to help your nervous system to feel it's safe to sleep. It's safe to go into repair mode. It's safe to really go deep tonight. So whatever that is for every person is going to make the difference. It could be really anything from journaling, feeling gratitude, and you just decide, okay, every night I'm going to do these three things. I'm going to have that shower. I'm going to do my breath work. I'm going to unwind and really reassure myself that all is well. My bedroom is how I like it. And you will start to get better sleep. And it's fun. It will build and get better and better.
Not sure about the fun part, but I do.
Yes.
The rest of my family loves sleeping. I just miss that, Jean. Anyway, what about food and drink before you're going for bed?
Again, like eating as far away from bedtime without obviously being awake at night. And the body does adapt to that. Some people have their last meal at 4 or 5 o'clock and their body has adapted to that and sleeps so much better. Hydration as well. Don't just drink just before you go to bed. A lot of people do that and then wonder why they're getting kidneys are overstimulated. They end up having to do a toilet run or bathroom run. So training ourselves to check our hydration levels earlier, like 6 o'clock, if we want to sleep at 9 or 10, is really beneficial. Those little things are easy to do and they will enhance your ability to sustain a long stretch of sleep rather than having that sleep disturbance or disruption, which can really disturb your ability to, for example, detox your brain, which is what it wants to do at night.
I'm talking to Sabine Cristelli, sleep specialist, as I call her. Sabine, what about if you have ill health or pain and that wakes you up during the night? Or you're waking up because you're thinking about things. How do you get back to sleep? Do you count the thousand sheep?
No. I mean, it can. Look, I'm just responding to you in that sense. Yes, it can help. It has helped people because the counting sheep is all about focusing on something else rather than, oh, God, I've got the bills to pay, or oh, my right hip is hurting, or what am I going to do tomorrow? So the idea of anything, like imagining perhaps a relaxing holiday and where you're lying on top of a mountain, all those things are there to help you to relax and take you away from that automatic monkey mind that just goes on and often gets aggravated at night. The same with pain. With pain, it's more complicated. I would suggest that you try to minimize the pain at night because sleep is so important. With the right bedding, the right posture, maybe some pain relief if it needs that, because the sleep is going to help so much to heal whatever it is that's causing the pain potentially, versus if you take no painkiller and then you are, for example, restless and in agony, but then you're getting no sleep. So it will continuously perpetuate itself. So yes, and when you're a bit sick and like you were saying, under stress, there's a high chance you'll need more sleep. And that's really important to give yourself that time. You may have to just sleep in a bit more and give yourself that time to integrate injuries, pain, anything like that. Really important.
What about making up sleep or napping during the day?
That's again, I wish I had straight answers for everyone, but if a person doesn't sleep well at night, then I would say try not to have the naps to get a really strong sleep drive. Because if you take too many naps, you're going to not feel tired and you're going to really ruin your circadian rhythm. Ideally, you're meant to start getting tired when the sun goes down, start feeling like you want to retire, and then wake up when the sun goes up, on average. Obviously, not in countries where there's lots of darkness and you don't get that. But when you are able to flow with your circadian rhythm, things enhance in your life. And that's really important to keep that in mind.
Sabine, just looking at all the aspects of sleep, though, from woe to go to that beginning to end,
mm-hmm.
if we're just looking at an average sleep, we're saying 6 to 8 hours. But if I'm waking up during the night and can't go back to sleep,
mm-hmm.
do I try and make that up the next night?
So if you don't sleep well and you want to take naps, as an example, you would carefully do those. You would try to have nothing longer than 20 minutes, because otherwise you're entering a full sleep cycle. And as we all know, that's 90 minutes. And then you can feel really awful if you take it longer than 20 minutes. And yes, sometimes napping makes a big difference for people. Again, it depends on people. Making up sleep, some people say they try to make up on sleep, basically on restfulness on the weekend. In general, if I were to give you advice and you say, I don't want the wrinkles, I want to have more energy, I want to reverse age, I want to be really zen, relaxed and super functional and my optimum self, I would say try to keep the same sleeping pattern, because the disturbance of that pushing it and not getting enough sleep on a Friday night or a Saturday night affects you for weeks.
That is the difference between weekend and during the week sleep, isn't it? Because you usually go out to things on the weekend,
people
Friday,
do.
Saturday night, during the week, a little bit more relaxed. Sabine,
yes.
What about things like blue lights and stimulation before bed?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. If you are going to have a late night, for example, and you have obviously things to go to, at least try to keep it dim when you come home and you want to sleep. Keep, you know, your bathroom light, which is often really bright in everyone's house, I've noticed. Keep those bathroom lights dim. I have fairy lights along the mirror so that when I go to the bathroom, I can still see, but I don't get the stimulation of that blue light frequency. We call it junk light these days. Technology, laptops, anything where you feel you're squinting or it's a bit bright and you're not having that ambience of a fireplace, which is what we're actually biologically programmed to have at night.
Oh, this is interesting.
Yes.
So we're biologically geared to a fireplace.
Fireplace, candle, ambience. That's what our whole biology has evolved into, to recognize, to release the melatonin, to relax and feel safe, that campfire vibration. So I always say to people, if you can emulate this at home, and don't have that bright kitchen, don't have the bright bathroom, and really imagine, because our ancestors had that, that's a signal to the brain to relax. Keep your bedroom dim, keep your kitchen dim. That will really help. So if you are sleep deprived, number one, that will help you to rejuvenate. And number two, yes, in general, try to have a curfew with the blue light or the junk light, which really affects you a lot.
Whereas most people, I would guarantee the mobile phone is the last thing they see before they go to sleep. They
yes.
put their alarm on. They think, oh, I'll just check a bit of Facebook, or I'll check the weather for tomorrow. And
there is something you can get. It's called Flux, FL.UX or something. I've forgotten how it's spelled. Flux. It's a thing you can have over your phone and on your laptop as well, and it'll block the blue light. You can also get blue light blocking glasses. So I've got some of those. If I feel like I'm exposed to a lot of light or I have to do a talk or webinar at night, I will wear those blue light blocking glasses. And the other thing you can do is you can get an infrared device and you can sit in front of it. These are little machines you can buy. They're not that expensive, $100 or so. And if you go in front of that, it will stimulate the infrared, which will stimulate that release of all the chemicals that you basically need to help the nervous system relax. Again, think campfire. I try to make it really easy to remember. More you have that vibe. How often have we been in front of a fireplace or candlelit dinner and we just feel so happy and relaxed?
Does a salt lamp provide the same
yes,
thing?
Yes, I also recommend them, unless usually they're very dim. So salt lamps are fantastic.
Not that I recommend burning a candle overnight, but there actually is a candle called wick candles. And as you light it, it sounds like a fire, the crackling in a fire.
And that helps too. That can bring me straight into, I mean, I love that. So that candle, it's called a wick.
It's a brand.
Wick, yeah, wood, sounds wick really candles. Good, because again, it's a stimulus. Like, we can buy soundscapes as well, waterfalls, rainforest.
So the next question was,
exactly.
Can you use music or can you use a guided meditation?
Yes, 100%. And that's really effective to calm the nervous system and also white noise. Anything where, for example, you wake up because you hear the neighbor or your husband or the pets or something and you want to feel like you can go straight back to sleep and not get awoken or aroused from the sound. Those white noises or rainforest noises, whatever you're into, or crackling, are really powerful tools that we have these
days. Well, it made a big difference for me using a guided meditation to go to sleep. And then if I wake up during the night, I'll put on one of the white noise or scapes, you know.
Perfect.
Beach, something like that.
Easy.
That does help. But even the other night, because I'm thinking all the time, a million things, I was finding it really difficult to get to sleep. It was about an hour.
Yes. So usually after half an hour, it's a good idea to sit up. Because lying there will just turn it into a torture and into a negative experience and something we dread. We don't want it again, right? So what actually helps is to sit up in your bedroom, because when you then later, after 10 minutes, lie back down and become horizontal, you are telling your body for the second time, get ready to sleep. And the biochemistry responds from your brain. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is you could just be like journaling. You could write things down. What am I thinking about? Make a list for tomorrow. As long as it doesn't activate you and get you really thinking about the rest of your life.
Yes, it's best not to rehearse an argument you're going to have with somebody
the next day. Exactly.
What about reading?
Reading again. It's. I wish I had a straight answer.
Or is it not the blue light if it's a book?
Yes, a book is better than a lot of the Kindles, which have improved. The Kindles are better than what they used to be in all those ways of reading books. But a normal light that you clip on, it's relatively dim. Make it as dim as you can whilst you can obviously read nicely. That's actually better than electronics. But unfortunately, I also have to say, you have to be careful with what you're reading. I know it's kind of common sense, but if you read something that's too interesting, stimulating, exciting,
scary,
it can disturb your sleep quality as well.
Don't read the children a horror story before bed.
Exactly. And some parents and some children do that, like Lemony Snicket or something. It's quite creepy. Anyway,
Not good. Now, let's move to parents. As you know, I have a granddaughter, and we were talking about sleep-deprived parents and what you can do when babies won't sleep, toddlers won't sleep.
Yes. So, I mean, number one, it usually means they want something. Usually it's reassurance or food or something. And often we don't realize they need reassurance. They might be picking up on a parent feeling worried or stressed or feeling insecure about how to parent. The most powerful thing that I've come across with that is keep the light dim for the baby as well. I've seen some people putting their kids in the living room and it's all bright and the TV's on. They're already overstimulated. So number one, check their environment and the lighting, and then calm yourself down as a parent. So put on a meditation. If you're feeling that there's a pattern as a parent, really ooze complete serenity and kindness and love and
you
all
mean,
of
don't
that.
Do the shaking. Oh, for goodness sakes, go to sleep. Yeah. Shaking them up. And down.
Yeah, only when you're noticing that,
you're
give
so
it
tired.
To someone else. Say, hey, I'm just really need to have a shower and reset. And you've got a partner there. Can you just look after the baby for 15 minutes? And I'll be back refreshed. So just be, you know, really calm. And then I come in even calmer and we're going to nail this thing.
Because they do pick up on it.
They pick up 100%. Really, they pick up from work to what you carry with you. There's a whole lot of stories on that children can sense if you had a stressful day. And it really helps if a parent comes home, has a shower, resets, and then plays with the kids rather than bringing that in, because a lot of kids are sensitive and they can pick up energetically that there's a lot of stress and you're bringing that into your home life. So there's lots of techniques.
And there's also that competition with the phone. If you're on your phone, they think you're not giving me attention.
We have a new cat, and this new cat is even noticing it. If we're on the phone, meow, meow, and comes closer, it's exactly the same. Hey, they notice once we get into the vault of the phone and we get absorbed. She knows, and kids, of course, know that. So they might play up, they might get naughty, they may feel insecure. And so, yes, that phone thing is a tricky one.
It's really difficult. Mm-hmm. So how do you help Sabine? What's your website?
My website is sabinecristelli.com. I'll spell it. So it's S-A-B-I-N-E. And then straight away, my next name, which is C-H-R-I-S-T-E. LLI. But if you type in Sabine Cristelli in something similar, I'll come up and sleep, because I'm in Adelaide and it's easy to find. And I really help people with free stuff, because I want to primarily help people to be inspired actually and look forward to bed and realize the goodness that happens there. you're just going to be a more amazing human. And I help people with courses and one-on-ones. Some people just take it slow. Other people, they just say, I want to nail my sleep. So being 7 days, I've got to set things in place. Can you guide me? So I have a big spectrum.
So this is something you could run in a community centre, go and run a sleep session for, we wouldn't have all the beds, but giving people advice.
Yes, courses, corporate talks, workshops, especially in corporate as well, where people just have so much electronics and stress, and a corporation can really help to bring that inspiration in and make it a little sleep challenge even. What are we doing at night? What are we doing to wind down? And realizing how powerful it is. It's not a gimmick. It's massive. And it will save everyone so much time and stress.
Because that's what everyone talks about. You know, the mental health, their stress. I'm so stressed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Because it just doesn't actually reset. That's what happens. That's also where anxiety comes from. Because we're not resetting. So we still got a low level stress. And then the next level comes on. And then the next. And then if we don't rejuvenate at night, we are never fully refreshed, fully functional, integrated, and that's why it builds up and anxiety develops through to this complete lack of rejuvenation.
Is it fair to say, Sabine, that if my mind isn't rested from sleep, then my body is physically, and when people just say, look, I just feel tired, you can actually see it in their whole body?
Yes, then imagine what's happened to the actual organs and everything. Everything is sluggish now and minimal. I mean, I often make a joke and say, we spend so much time, if we go into a movie, we brush the teeth, we get our hair done, we put on our favorite clothes. Why don't we prepare like that for sleep? The other thing is this, when we have a car, we take it to the service, we really check it out. And do you want the mechanic just to check the left windscreen wiper, or do you want them to check the tires and the engine oil? Really, every night is garage.
Full service.
Full service. You want a full service every night, and all you have to do is learn to wind down a little, create a bit of a dedication towards sleep. And you'll be surprised. You could become a different person on some level, in a good way.
Well, I always get different tips whenever I talk to you, Sabine. What led you into this?
The fact that I love to see humans thrive. It's always been my
passion.
I thought
you were going to say that you love to sleep.
Oh, no. I've also been sleep deprived. And I also wish we only needed 3 hours. Why do I have to spend so much in bed? But that's actually another thing I mentioned when I used to teach in Cairns at a resort. I said, look, if we could have evolved right now to need 5 hours or 4 hours, we would have done it. Because no one really wants to spend 8 hours of their life. We would all rather just have 2-3 good hours and then afterwards get going again. But we haven't evolved that way. We actually really need that time, because when we're not getting it, it's extremely devastating, and it's a torture technique.
Exactly. And we're probably cutting into our sleep. And because of all the screens and the blue light, we're not having as good sleep.
It's the low quality. It's getting less. And so everyone's thinking, oh, I'm getting my 6 or 8 hours, that should be good. I'm just gonna have the coffee and feel kind of good. But long term, it's really stretching it, because remember, what you need to repair in the body, including everything in your brain and your immune system and all those millions of things, is just gradually not getting repaired. Like, you're sending your car to a person that's just always doing tiny bits, and things are gradually going to start falling apart. It's never actually fully operational.
And the great thing about this is there isn't a cost to that. You just need to sleep more.
I know. How cool is
then
that?
Then you can visit the doctor less.
You visit a doctor less. You have more energy, clarity. I love it. It's a gold mine, and I want to see people excited about sleep, saying, hey, I've got a nice ritual. I love my sleep. This is what I do. And when people look at you, what do you do? You say, well, actually, I just sleep really well. Yeah.
And Sabine, you do help people. You've got a lot of great resources, so we'll be putting that on our website with the podcast. Thank you so much being our guest today.
Thanks for having me. That was awesome.
I'm talking to Tammy Shepherd, CEO of Taylor Bank Community Centre. Tammy, you've had some very exciting events, but most recently Minister Cook came up and opened your new community garden, and of course you are launching the Station Master's House. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, this has been a project that's been in our pipeline for over 10 years. We've wanted to secure the Station Master's House to continue to serve our community. We've at capacity in our current facility. We've got that property over the road now and starting to develop that. We got some funding through Department of Human Services for the community garden. We also got some funding through SA Power Networks, and we had an art installation that we unveiled as well, which is Pinar, which is a Nurundjeri word for tree. And that's an animatronic tree that we can program to say whatever we want it to say. And that tree runs, and it creates a tourism aspect for people to come and get involved in what we do and learn more about what we do, tourism in the region, and how they can actively engage with the Taylor Bank Community Centre.
And Tammy, you run an extensive program of activities for the community. Perhaps just tell us about some of those.
Yeah, we get 5 federal and state grants. So we run programs for people over the age of 65, children's services, we run a transport scheme. So we have about 20 classes a week that we run here at the centre. So it's a really busy community centre. We've got about 200 people a week coming through the doors for information and services. And it's just very vibrant, busy, ever-changing. We're always offering something different.
And tell me, it's not easy to run anything in rural areas, but with the community centre, you've made a real success. What are the challenges and what do you think has led to your success?
Yeah, logistically, transport is an issue in a lot of rural communities, and the cost of transport. When you've got the cost of living pressures, what we are seeing is people starting to pull back away from social engagement, and we all know how important that is. So what we need to do is be creative and partner and network with other organisations so that we can provide those services for low cost and increase engagement as much as possible.
And as you said, those partnerships are really important for you, Tammy. And the community centre provides that hub and focus, and I know when I visited, there's just something going on all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We respond to community needs. So as people come in and tell us what challenges are happening, then we straight away, we're very responsive to, okay, that challenge is happening in our community. We've had fires, floods, farmers are really struggling with drought at the moment. So what can we do as an organisation in that cold front to respond as quickly as possible and make the biggest impact to try to take the pressure off of people? That is our core business.
So if you were running the land, Tammy, what would be your wish for community centre? What do you need to help you be able to deliver more programs to the community?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a greater emphasis on the impact that community centres can make. And I know that we're so busy doing what we're doing that we often don't make the time to tell people about the value of what we do. But what we know is that that value is, you know, extraordinary. And so if we could get people to understand more about the impact that we can make, get longer sustainable funding to be able to continue to do what we do. We know South Australia is the best voluntary state within Australia. Let's put greater emphasis on that and reward the people that are making that significant difference in communities.
And that's really why I wanted to talk to you today, because it's very important once the podcast is shared to hear these stories and the sort of work you're doing and how we need to continue to support it. Thank you, Tammy, to you and your team and everything you do. Really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au and feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.